ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जय श्रीमद् भागवत गीता की जय श्री कृष्ण अर्जुन की जय Chapter 9, Rajagriha Yoga, or the Hidden Treasure of Devotion. What does Prabhupada call it? The most confidential knowledge. Yeah. So I'll chant the verse first, and then we'll chant it together, as we've been doing. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Idam Tute Kuyatamam Pravaksham Yi Anushyave Jnanam Vijnanam Sohitam Yajyatta Mokshase Subhat Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam Tu Te Guyatamam Pravaksham Yanu Suyave Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam Yajyatva Mokshase Subhat. The Supreme Lord said, I now reveal to you who are without envy this most hidden treasure of knowledge of pure devotion, with direct realization of me, knowing which you will be liberated from inauspiciousness, from all that is opposed to devotion. Rajavidya Rajagoyam Pavitramidamuttamam Pratyaksavagam Mam Dharmyam Sukshmam Kartam Avayam Rajavidya Rajagoyam Pavitramidamuttamam Pratyaksavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Bokartam Avayam. Know this to be the king of secrets, the king of knowledge, supreme, pure and imperishable. It is known by direct realization by one eager to serve me. It is the perfection of religion and very easy to practice. Ashradhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante maritya sansaravartmani. Ashraddha dana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mritya sansaravartmani. O conqueror of the enemy, men who have no faith in this hidden treasure of devotion to me are unable to reach me, and so they remain wandering on the path of death in the material world. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina Matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavashtita Mayam tatam idam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina Matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavashtita. This entire universe is pervaded by me in my unmanifest form, and all beings are situated in me, yet I am not in them. Nacha matstani bhutani pasyame yogam aishvarajam Bhutta brinna cha bhutto sto mamatma bhutta bhavana Nacha matstani bhutani pasyame yogam aishvaram Bhutta brinna cha bhutto sto mamatma bhutta bhavana. Again, they are not in me. Behold my supreme mystical power of inconceivable oneness and difference, Achinta Bheda Abhe. I myself am the mainstay and origin of all beings, but I am not in them.
Yatakasa stito nityam vayu sarvatra gomahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani tyupadayara daharaya Yatakasa stito nityam Vayu sarvatra gomahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani tyupadaraya.
Know that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, similarly all beings rest in me.
Sarva bhutani kunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakaya punastani kalpado visrajamyaham. Sarva bhutani kunteya prakritim yanti mamikam kalpakaya punatani kalpado visrajamyaham.
O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all beings are merged in the material nature of three modes, which is my external potency,
and at the beginning of a new millennium, I make them manifest again.
Strange translation for
Kalpakaya millennium. Anyway. Prakritim Swamavastabhya Visrajami Puna Puna Bhuttagramam Imam Krishnam Avasam Prakrite Vasat. Prakritim Swamavastabhya Visrajami Puna Puna Bhuttagramam Imam Krishnam Avasam Prakrite Vasat. I control my potency of material nature to repeatedly manifest the multitude of beings who are helplessly controlled by their natures. Nachamam tani karmani nibaddanti dananjaya uddasinna vadasinam ashaktam teshu karmasu. Nachamam tani karmani nibaddanti dananjaya uddasinna vadasinam ashaktam teshu karmasu. Sorry. O conqueror of wealth, I remain detached and situated as neutral in the cosmic manifestation, sustenance and withdrawal, and these functions cannot bind me. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kunteya jagad viparivartate. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam Etunanin Kunteya Jagat Viparivartate. O Kunteya, ordained by me, my illusory potency produces this universe of moving and stationary beings. Thus it is manifest over and over again. Avajanantimam mudha manusam tanu ashritam parambhavam magyanato mamabhuta maheshwaram. Avajanti mamudha manusim tanum ashritam param bhavam janato mamudha maheshwaram. Not knowing the transcendental nature of my form of human features, ignorant persons blaspheme me, the Supreme Lord of all beings, considering me a mere mortal. Mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vicheshtasa Rakshasim Asurin Chayva Prakritim Mohinim Srita Mogasa Moga Karmano Moga Jnana Vichetasa Rakshasim Asurin Chayva Prakritim Mohinim Srita. Their hopes, acts, knowledge and thoughts are all in vain. Such persons acquire the ignorant and demoniac nature which leads to their downfall. Mahatmanas tumam partad daivim praktitim ashrita bhajantian ananya manaso yatvabhutadim avyayam. Mahatmanas tumam partad daivim praktitim ashrita bhajantian ananya manaso yatvabhutadim avyayam. But, O Partha, the great-hearted souls take refuge in the divine nature, and they wholeheartedly worship and adore me, knowing me as the eternal origin of all. Satatam kirtayantomam yatantascha dridabrata namasyantaschamam bhaktya nityayukta upasyate. Satatam kirtayantomam yatantascha dridabrata namasyantaschamam bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasyate. They continually chant my glories, strive to learn spiritual truths about me, and faithfully follow the devotional practices. Bowing to me and worshipping me with devotion, they aspire for their eternal relationship with me. Jnana Yajnana Chapyanye Yajanto Mumupasyate Ekatvena Pritakvena Bahuda Vishvato Mukam Jnana Yajnena Chapanye Yajanto Mam Upasyate Ekatvena Pritakvena Bahuda Vishvato Mukam. Others perform the knowledge sacrifice and worship me in oneness.
Others worship me in differentiation, and yet others worship me in a multitude of ways as the universal form. Aham gratur aham yagya swadhanam aham oshodam mantraham aham evacham aham magnir aham hutam aham gratur aham yagya swadhanam aham oshodam mantraham aham avivyam aham magnir aham hutam. I am the Vedic Yotistoma sacrifice, and the five sacrifices to the Vishvadeva demigods, and others as enjoined in the Smriti scriptures. I am the oblation to the ancestors, the food and the mantra. I am the sacrificial ingredients, such as ghee. I am the consecrated fire, and I am the act of offering. Pitaham masya jagato matadata pitamaha Vedyam pavitram omkara riksamo yajurevacha Pitaham asya jagato matadata pitamaha Vedyam pavitram omkara riksamo yajurevacha. I am the father and the mother of the universe, the ordainer of the living beings' fruits of actions, the forefather and the object of all knowledge. I am the purifying Om, the Rig, Sama and Yajurvedas. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Shakshi Navasar Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralaya Stanam Nidanam Bijamavyayam. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Shakshi Navasar Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralaya Stanam Nidanam Bijamavyayam. And I am the goal, the maintainer, master, witness, refuge, guardian, and true friend. I am the universal manifestation, sustenance and withdrawal. I am the reservoir. I am the original seed. I am the imperishable Supreme Lord. Tapamyaham maham varasham nignanam utrijamicha amritam chaiva mrityushcha sadasach chaham arjuna. Tapamyaham aham varsham nigrayanam yotrijamancha amritam chaiva mrityushcha sadasach chaham arjuna. O Arjun, I give heat, and the rain comes and goes by my will. I am immortality and death. I am truth and untruth. Tribidya mam soma pa putta papa yagner istva svargatim pratan pratayante te punyama sadya surendra lokam asnanti dibyam divideva bogan. Trayai vidya mam samopa uta papa yagner istva jatakate pratayante te punyam asadya surendra lokam asnati dibyam divideva bogan. Persons who perform the fruitive ritualistic sacrifices prescribed in three of the Vedas worship Indra and other demigods. In fact, they worship me, but in an indirect way. They drink the sacrificial remnants of the Soma beverage, purify themselves of sin, and pray to attain the heavenly plane. As the result of their piety, they reach heaven and enjoy celestial pleasures. Te tam bhukva svargalokam bishalam kine punye marchalokam bishanti evam trai dharmam anuprapana gata gatam kama kama labhante. Te tam bhukva svargalokam bishalam kine punye marchalokam bishanti evam trai dharmam anuprapana gata gatam kama kama labante. After enjoying the vast heavenly plane, upon the exhaustion of their pious merits, they return to the human plane. In this way, persons desiring enjoyment, who follow the Vedic rituals for demigod worship, come and go. They undergo repeated birth and death in this material world. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryapashyate tesam nitya biyuktanam yoga
kemam bahamyaham anyas chin chayanto mam ye jana pariyapashyate tesham nitya viyuktanam yogya kemam bahamyaham.
I bear the responsibility of acquiring and protecting the necessities of my fully dependent devotees, who are always absorbed in thought of me, and who worship me in every way.
Yepyanya devata bhakta yajante sradananvita te pimam eva kunteya yajanti abhidipurvakam. Yepyanya devata bhakta yajante sradayantvita te pimam eva kunteya yajantya vidhipurvakam.
O Kunteya, the devotees of the demigods who have faith and worship them are actually worshipping me, but incorrectly.
Aham mi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha praburiva cha natu mamma bijananti tadvena tas chayavanti te. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha praburiva cha natu mamma bijananti tadvena tas chayavanti te.
I alone am the enjoyer and rewarder of all sacrifices, but being ignorant of my position, the demigod worshippers fall to take birth again.
Yanti deva brata devan pitrin yanti pitrivarta bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mad yajino pimam. Yanti deva brata devan pitrin yanti pitrivarta bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mad yajino pimam.
The demigod worshippers reach the demigods. The forefather worshippers go to the plane of their ancestors, and the worshippers of the spirits go to the spirits. But those who worship me come to me.
Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachitachati tadaham bhaktya upharitam asnami prayatatmanaha. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktya upharitam asnami prayatatmanaha.
If one offers me with devotion a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I affectionately accept that offering of the clean-hearted devotee.
Yat karoshi at yat asnasi yat johosi dadasi jat yat tapasyasi kunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Yat karoshi yat asnasi yat johosi dadasi jat yat tapasyasi kunteya tat kurushva madarpanam.
O Kunteya, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offering sacrifice, whatever you give, and whatever vow you may keep, do everything as an offering unto me.
Subha shubha palerevam mokshase karma bandhanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimokta mad upaishyasi. Subha shubha palerevam mokshase karma bandhanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukta mam upaishyasi.
Acting thus, you will be freed from bondage to action and its auspicious or inauspicious results. With mind selflessly linked to me, you will be perfectly liberated and you will come to me.
Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshostina priya ye bhajanti tumam bhakcha mayite tushchapyamyaham. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshostina priya ye bhajanti tumam bhakcha mayite tushchapyamyaham.
I am equal to all, so no one is my enemy or my friend. Yet for those who serve me with love, as they are bound by affection for me, I am similarly bound by the tie of affection for them.
Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantabhya samyagvyavyasito hisha
Api chet sudara charo bhajate mam ananyava sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa. If even a very sinful person serves me exclusively with devotion, he should be regarded as saintly, for his resolve is perfect. Kipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim nigachyati kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Kipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim nigachyati kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. He swiftly becomes a person of virtuous practices and attains constant peace. O son of Kunti, declare to the world that my devotee is never vanquished. Or, O son of Kunti, declare to the world that my devotee is never vanquished. One who declares this swiftly becomes virtuous and attains eternal joy. Commentary. The second interpretation of this verse was revealed to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a dream. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Sri Krishna says, Ajanayaivam gunam dosham mayadishtam apiswakam dharmam santyajyaha sarvam mambajetsa chasatama. The best of the saintly persons are those who have surpassed the forms of duty that I myself have recommended in the scriptures for the people in general. Although it is my directive, they cross it and render loving service to me. In society, one must obey the law, but there is also the situation of crossing the law to show fidelity to the king. If one risks his life and reputation and crossing the general law enters the royal chamber to combat an assassin, then he will be considered the most loyal servitor. Similarly, the Lord is saying, I have already given some direction for the people in general. Do this, don't do that, don't cross these laws, etc. But if for my interest anyone takes the risk of committing sin, then he should be considered the best of my devotees. So Arjun, go and declare it. Promise to the public that the Ananyabhak, the exclusively devoted persons, will never come to ruin. Then you will get the benefit. You will become Dharmatma, religious, and attain eternal divine happiness. The Ananyabhak, the exclusive devotees, have already crossed the threshold of Dharma, the standard of dutifulness, and taken the risk to throw themselves fully into my service. Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Shananam Raja. There is no question of them becoming virtuous or religious, as they long before surpassed Dharma and took the risk and entered into Prema Dharma, my loving service transcending both piety and sinfulness. Mam hi parta vyaparshritya yepishu papayonaya striyo vaishastata shudras tepi anti paramgatim.
Mam hi parta vyaparshritya yepishu papayonaya striyo vaishastata shudras tepi anti paramgatim.
O son of Pritha, persons of low birth, women, merchants, all laborers, they too attain the supreme destination by taking full refuge in me. Kim purna brahmana punya bhakta rajashayastata anityam ashukam lokam imam prapya bhajashvamam.
Kim purna brahmana punya bhakta rajashayastata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajashvamam.
So can there be any doubt that those Brahmins and saintly kings who are pure devotees will achieve the supreme goal? Therefore worship me, since although this human body is temporary and a place of suffering, it is attained only after many births, and it affords the best opportunity to render devotional service to me.
Manmana bhava madbhakto majyaji mam namaskuro mammi vaishyasi yukvayam atmanam matparayana. Manmana bhava madbhakto majyaji mam namaskuro Mami Vaishyasi Yukvaivam Atmanam Matparayana.
Always think of me, be my devotee, always worship me and offer obeisance to me. Thus offering yourself to me and taking refuge in me, you will come to me.
Iti Sri Mahabharate Satta Saharshayam Samhittayam Vyashashikyam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishadso Brahma Vidyam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Rajaguyam Yoga Namo Navamo Jayaha.
End of the 9th chapter, The Hidden Treasure of Devotion, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga Scripture of Transcendental Knowledge, in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the Holy Scripture, revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses.
That is the 9th chapter. And so many important verses in this chapter.
Just a couple that I'd like to speak about, and then we have His Holiness Tridandi Maharaj, who's a lover of Bhagavad Gita, and we'd like to hear something from him. But I just want to mention about the verse that Guru Maharaj has given this commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this Kipram Bhavati Dharmakya Shatras Chantim Negatshati Kunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. So the general translation, as we have there, is from the previous verse, even if my devotee does something sinful, he should still be considered as a sadhu because he is rightly situated if he has exclusively devoted himself to me. And the general translation of this verse is, swiftly he becomes virtuous, declare it boldly, my devotee is never vanquished, or my devotee will never perish, something like that. But we heard, Guru Maharaj, it says here in the translation, in the commentary, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he heard, or was revealed, this was revealed to him in a dream. Of course, that's for the book version, you know, but actually what we heard is, from Guru Maharaj, is that the Mahajan, Jamaraj, Mahadev, and others, they were discussing the meaning of this verse, because it seems like there's some redundancies in what it says in there, you know. If someone's a Nanya Bhak, then how will they, what's the question of them becoming religious or virtuous? A Nanya Bhak is already surpassing that religiosity or virtuosity. So they were trying to understand the meaning of this. And then they saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur walking in the sky chanting japa. This is we heard from Guru Maharaj this way. So, and they asked him, oh, there is a devotee who can explain this to us. And so he explained to them, to the Mahajans, the meaning of this verse is that if you declare this, if you believe this, without passing judgment on my devotee, even if they are showing some, you know, addiction to sinful behavior or something like that, if you can understand that because they're exclusively devoted to me and properly situated, that even in spite of that, and you consider them a sadhu, and you declare this boldly to the world, you, the person who declares this, you'll become dharmatma, you'll become religious, righteous, virtuous person very quickly. So then they understood, oh yeah, this is the proper understanding of this verse. So when we were publishing this, the Gita, I say we, and not me, but Sagar Maharaj, when he was publishing the Gita, this commentary, he asked Guru Maharaj this question. We've all heard you give this explanation about this verse, but in your Bengali translation, this explanation isn't given. So, should we include it or not include it? And Guru Maharaj's reply was, yes, I didn't include it in my original translation on the request of Jajava Maharaj. That was his godbrother. He said, because it's a very dangerous philosophy. That what if you tell that my devotee, if he's fully surrendered to me, even if he does something immoral,
he should be considered as a sadhu, then to say this, although it is true, it opens the gates to all kinds of corruption. So someone can do anything and everything, all kinds of sinful activity, and say, but I'm Ananyabhak, I'm fully surrendered to Krishna, then whatever I do, you should consider me as a sadhu. You see, with the danger. So it is a dangerous thing to put in the Gita, in the commentary of the Gita, because others will abuse that, misinterpret that, to justify that they do all kinds of nonsense in the name of being Ananya Bhakta, or fully surrendered devotee. So then, considering that, Guru Maharaj decided not to put it in his original commentary. So after explaining that to us, then Sagar Maharaj asked him, so should we publish this in your English translation or not? And Guru Maharaj said, you must publish it, because if I don't give it, then who will give it? Because although it is dangerous, it's also the truth, and therefore it needs to be told. So then this was published in the English translation. You won't find it in Guru Maharaj's Bengali commentary, which is that this Gita is a translation of Guru Maharaj's Bengali commentary. But so that verse I want to speak about, and then also the next verse, just want to touch on that, where this is always a very controversial verse. You know that Mamhi Partha Vyapashritya Yepi Suya Papa Yonaya Sriyo Vaishas Tata Shudras Tepi Yanti Paramgatin, which is that, you know, even those of low birth, women, Vaishyas and Shudras, they also can attain the supreme perfection. So someone may say, especially modern thinking people, oh, Krishna has been a bit sexist there, isn't he? But if we take it in the cultural context of the time, where that was the case in society, Vaishyas, Shudras, women, they were considered like low birth. That was considered low birth. So what the point that Krishna is making is that even those who are considered to be in lower position in society, there's no bar to them reaching, attaining the supreme perfection. Anyone, in other words, anyone can attain the supreme perfection if they take refuge in me. And this is the underlying meaning of that. It's not to denigrate anybody, not to denigrate women or Shudras or Vaishyas or anything of the kind. But is to say, even those who may be considered in society to be a lower birth, outcast, or whatever it may be, they also can reach Krishna consciousness and come to me if they take refuge in me. This is the meaning of that. Anyway, that's more or less all I wanted to say about that. And like I said, so many important verses and familiar verses in this chapter. So I'd like to ask His Holiness, if he would like to give some light on this chapter for us.
I'm just sort of dropping out. I was actually here by accident when you mentioned I designed a four-week program and it got either cancelled or postponed, you know. It's quite close to here. So
then their loss is our fortune, though.
Never was like very much this ninth chapter. It's called the hidden treasure?
Yeah, the hidden treasure of devotion.
Because there's hidden, more hidden, and most hidden.
Oh, yeah.
There's ninth is hidden, and what's more hidden? Is it tenth?
Oh, yeah.
And most hidden, then? It's like that, you know?
Progressive, yeah.
Yeah, progressive. So when he says the hidden treasure, Krishna, I mean, he talks about devotional service, and that first very second verse in the chapter is very sort of iconic of the whole chapter. This so famous verse, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Havitram Idam Uttamam, Pratchakshavagamam, Dharmam, Shushukam, Kartam, Avyayam. So it's a very beautiful, even it sounds so beautiful. Raja Vidya, this knowledge means the knowledge of devotional service. In other words, to say, not by sort of very complicated yogic practice of mystic yoga, and you know, meditational practices and austerities and so on. But just by the performance of devotional service means hearing, chanting, because later in the chapter, Krishna says, should we read? Bow down and worship me. He mentioned there are four things. Just become my devotee. Man bhakto. Man mana bhav. And always think of me. The Guru Maharaj's translation is give me your heart. Mana means mind, but the Guru Maharaj is putting, like, just not think of me, like, I might be thinking of Krishna and I'm doing something totally else, not related. No, man mana bhav. Bhav means your transcendental innermost feeling. So give me that, like, with affection of yourself. Man mana bhav, man bhakto, come my devotee. Majaji. Jaji means yagya. Do everything, yagya, sacrifice. Everything you do, do that for me. Majaji, mam namaskaru, offer me your obeisances. Mama vaishti. There's two verses, this one and the other one, very similar, just like almost one word is different. This one says, mam. This one in this verse, in this chapter.
In
other words, Mama Vaishti Satyam Te, Prati Jani Priyosi Me.
This is Mam Ivaishasi Yuktvaivam, Atmanam Matparayana.
Yeah, it's similar. Yeah, well, the first two lines are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And so Raja Vijaya, this knowledge, what's that devotional service, Raja Vijaya is the king of knowledge. And Raja Guyam, it's the most secret of all secrets. Guyam means a cave. It means the cave of the heart. It's the king, it's the treasure hidden in the heart, of the heart of the heart of the living being. Pavitram, it's pure, it's completely pure. Idam Uttamam, and it's the highest. Prataksavagamyam Dharmam. Prataksha means it's the direct experience of the soul. It is directly realized by the soul. Dharmam, and the perfection of religion. Sasukam is joyful, joyfully done. That's one time the Guru Maharaj said, you know, if the end goal, like the prayojan, is prema, which is full of love and joy and bliss, then the path to that goal, should that be really tedious and difficult? Maybe difficult, but should it be tedious and full of anxiety? And no, that should also be shushukam. Shukam and shushukam, very joyful, joyfully performed. And and everlasting, it's eternal, because it's what the soul will be doing eternally in the spiritual world and practicing now in this world. So that's the second verse, kind of heads the chapter and leads into it. Anything else that Krishna says really after that?
He says that I'm truth in one verse, then he says that I'm untruth.
Yeah, that's interesting, because here at Swami Maharaj's translation says, I am the eternal, I am all that is eternal, and I am all that is temporary. Mm. But the Guru Maharaj's translation, he's taken sat and asat to be truth and untruth, because truth is eternal, right?
Mm.
It means sat, sat, chit, ananda. Truth, eternal, and asat is temporary, which is material. Everything which is not eternal and spiritual is temporary and material. So, yeah, it's true. Sometimes it's that Satchitananda. They say truth, consciousness, bliss, or eternal consciousness and bliss. And then there are a few sort of explanation of that. If you find it in subjective evolution of consciousness, he says that must be the complete, it is a description. Or if somebody would say, well, what's an Atma? What's a soul? How would you define it? You say, oh, it's made of sat, chit, ananda, right? Like the body's made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, right? And the mind, etc. So the Atma, what's that made of? Sat, chit, ananda. These three elements, if you want to call it eternal existence, of course. But then Guru Maharaj says, so if you have existence, but you don't even realize that you exist, there's no point to existence. Like a stone exists, but it's not aware of its existence, supposedly. So there's no real value to its existence then. So you have chit, which means consciousness. So eternal existence, consciousness of existence. But that's also not complete. You may be conscious that you exist, but what is your aim, your goal? What are you striving for? What's the fulfillment of that existence? Is anand, bliss. Sat chit anand, that's the complete. So then when in the Shikshastakam, I think in his commentary of Shikshastakam, then Guru Maharaj is writing, yeah, in the commentary to the first verse, Cheto Dharpana Majana, and he says, every nerve of our soul will be satisfied, fully satisfied and purified by the holy name of the Lord. So nerve of our soul doesn't really have nerves in a material way, but it is his way of expressing sort of every aspect or everything in the soul. You must have questions to us.
Liverpool, going back to that thing, who could understand why not put it into Bengali and in English? Could understand?
Because if you say that anyone who's fully devoted to me, even if they do something sinful, then you should still consider them a sadhu because they're properly situated in service to me. Then if you say that opens up the door for people to do all kinds of sinful activity and say, but you should consider me a sadhu because I'm devoted to Krishna and you cannot find any fault in me. So it's a dangerous thing to say. So for that reason, then Guru Maharaj didn't publish that in his original commentary. And so, in case that became misconstrued and abused, but when publishing his English commentary, and we asked Guru Maharaj after considering, he said, "Yes, we must publish it because if it's not published, if I don't give it, then who will give it?" In other words, it's something that needs to be understood. What Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed is very important. And even though it may be subject to misinterpretation or abuse, it doesn't mean that should be forever hidden from the world. It should, for the devotees, they must understand this truth. This has been a very important thing.
So it means that English speaking word can follow that thing.
No, it just means that now Guru Maharaj wanted it to be revealed. Mm-hmm. His Bengali commentary was 30 years before he wrote that. Mm-hmm. So 30 years later, when Guru Maharaj is preparing to leave the world, he said, now that should be revealed to the world. Before I leave the world, it should be, doesn't matter in what language.
Well, that's okay.
Just that now it should be told to the world.
No, and also that he explained that in the commentary, is it? To that verse. He gives a commentary where he explains it.
Yeah.
Right, so he explains it. If you read the commentary, then you wouldn't misunderstand it. That's why he's given the commentary to explain how it is. You know. And also, that Apichet Sudaracharan, Sudur Achar, very bad behavior. Durachar and Sudurachar. He's extremely bad, maybe like, I wouldn't say murdering someone, or really bad thing. So, yeah, it's difficult. But then, that could also refer to, you know, two types of devotees also. The sort of lower, who's a practicing devotee, not perfect devotee, like practicing at Madhyam. Vaishnava. He's still in the practicing stage, he's being purified, so he may do something bad due to force of previous habit, say, he's addicted to drugs or something like that, and just he come in some particular situation, and he had a fall like that, he did that. But then he continued the devotional service and purified. There's no specific prayaschita required. Just the devotional service itself is the most purifying thing. So why would you then do some other prayaschita, which isn't as powerful, doesn't make any sense. Just carry on with your devotional service, hearing, chanting, serving the devotees, like that. So it could refer to a practicing devotee has a fall accidentally, or in the case of the higher devotee, who, for whatever reason, we don't know, we can't say, may show some kind of a thing like that. But that is not to be a...
Is that what you agree with it? Prabhupada is not actually agreeing with the translation as such.
No, Prabhupada's given the general translation. Both translations are there, aren't they?
It's only one who does mysterious activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. So.
Yeah, that's in a general sense. But this is a more specific sense. And like Maharaj says, sometimes like Lord Shiva, sometimes his behavior is not understandable by the common people. He's seen to associate with the like hobgoblins and demons and does things which are normally considered to be adharmic sometimes, you know. But if we were to think that he's of a lower type or something like that, not realizing his exalted position, then we will make offense. So in that case, it means that also. There are different. All of these things have to be considered with Guru Maharaj would say proper adjustment. Real religion, Guru Maharaj would say, real religion means proper adjustment. So everything should be adjusted according to time, place, circumstance, and not, there's no like blanket ruling, so to say, you know, that you can't paint everybody with the same brush. No, there's different ways of looking at that, the meaning of that verse, and the different ways of understanding that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's revelation of that particular meaning, it's very revolutionary and not so common, and not such a common understanding.
Yeah, because, you know, you've said already that the gods, it was like, right, Lord Shiva, Brahma, Narada, they were discussing this verse. They couldn't understand. What does he mean there, Krishna? What is he telling us? So then how do we think we can understand? Right? Yeah. But, like you said, apart from the top, we had that revelation about it. Ultimately, we can think how fantastic or how special is pure devotional service. Because he says in that verse, Bhaktate Mam Ananya Bhak, he's talking about my Ananya Bhakta, unalloyed, completely unalloyed devotee. That the person is completely unalloyed, completely pure, completely only devoted to Krishna 100%. Then how can there be any bad in him? If something is seen, we cannot condemn it. You know, so then the question that comes, like Prabhu said, then if the people falsely claim, oh, I'm Ananya Bhakta, so I'm in that category. But the problem is, a truly unalloyed devotee, you won't know who that is because he will never, he'll say, no, I'm very fallen, very low person. No, I'm not at all unalloyed devotee like that. See? So that's another mystery. As well, another paradox. So sometimes we have to, like Prabhu said, see everything in the context and the different perspectives. But there is the higher perspective also. And then, you know, the gradation. So all perspectives, they have some thing, you know, some
levels,
some efficacy, some application, you know. But there's also a degree. It's like in a mountain. So if you go up the mountain, from 200 feet, you get one view of the landscape there. So that is the same landscape, it's no different. But if you go 500 feet, you get a higher perspective. But that higher perspective includes the lower one, but it's something more. And if you go 700 feet and then to the very top, you have the highest perspective. And that includes all the lower. So each, it's organic and development, where each stage, it doesn't deny or throw out the lower one. It's built on that, but it's more than that. You know, like that. Like, an organism or a cell contains molecules, molecules contain atoms. It's an organic whole. So that's sometimes if according to our level, we perceive, we're able to perceive or understand something on a certain level. But that's not all in all. We should be aware that there are high levels, and that's why, of course, sometimes you get clashing in devotees also, different levels of adhikar, realization. Someone say, oh, so my Guru Maharaj said like this, so I'm like that, and then with that might be in a certain context or certain situation, and then the other person, they may be of higher realization. So what you've got is you've got in the material world, you've got the variety and the what appears to be dichotomy, difference, Also in the spiritual world, the higher world, also, without using Leela, the expression of Leela is necessary by Krishna's internal potency, Yoga Maya, you're having so much variety and sometimes, apparent disharmony. It's not actually disharmony because there's no ahamkara, there's no ego, false ego. So all is harmonious. But that is necessary for the nourishment of the leela. And in the lower stage you have also that apparent dichotomy. But that is sometimes painful. The friction of ego to ego is causing that heat. And in the middle, Brahma, Brahma Nirvana. Neither. There's no absolute oneness, no differentiation, no variety, no colour, form, figure, nothing of the kind. It's neither neither Maya Shakti nor the Swarup Shakti, Tatashta Shakti. We have to cross that. Otherwise if we come up and then we go there and then get stuck in there, it's very hard.
Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying. I remember when someone asked Guru Maharaj that question, why is it that different acharyas or different gurus have different opinions about the same thing? And they're sometimes conflicting opinions. And Guru Maharaj said it's of two reasons. In the lower case, it's because of anartha. And that, as Maharaj said, different levels of realization, so different visions. A Guru Maharaj said, of different types of guru, the Uttamadhikari, who is situated in that plane but extending his hand down to this plane, the Madhyamadhikari, who has 1 foot in this plane, 1 foot in that plane, and taking people there, and then the Kanishtadhikari, both feet here, like in the mud of misconception, but with his eyes looking there to Vaikuntha. And all three are qualified to give help to the people, but you can understand the difference. So there will be differences in their ideas and so on. But in Leela, the higher devotees, if they have differences, that's because of their position in Leela. And Guru Maharaj gave a very nice example about that. He said, like Mother Jashoda, and she's always thinking, oh, I want my boy to have a good night's rest. He's going to be busy tomorrow and so on. So he needs to have a good night's rest. But the coward girls, they want to take Krishna dancing all night. They don't want him to have rest that night, you see. So they're conflicting, their ideas conflicting with one another. But it's all contributing to the whole, as Maharaj said, the organic whole, the spiritual whole. So we shouldn't think that one is right and one is wrong. It's just part of the transcendental variegatedness of Krishna's lila. Anyway, these are all subtle points, and if we study carefully, we
can. What do you follow? One guru says this right, another says this is right, this is right.
Mm.
Who do you follow? Three of them.
Then you'll have to. Is it called tatastha vichar? That means you'll have to look impartially and see. And also, you know, like, what does the scripture say? What does the sadhu say? What does the guru say? If they are all in agreement, then we can consider. But also, you have to have the approval of the heart has to be there also. That fourth element has to be there. So ultimately, if there's some clash in opinion between the saints or like that, then you will have to look within yourself and see what opinion resonates with you. And that you can take the advice of other senior devotees and see. You know, like that, you have to try and stand back and judge in an impartial way, as much as we're able to find out what the what's the most suitable, instruction for you. You know, when you're in the primary school, there's also an example that Guru Maharaj said. When you're a child, your mother may say to you, just play in the garden, don't go out of the garden. And that's good advice, no? But when you're a grown man, if someone comes, should we go? And you say, no, mother said I'm not to go out of the garden. Then they'll just laugh at you, won't they? You know, so according to your position also, different advice may be pertinent or not to you, according to your level of advancement and your level of progress in spiritual life.
But generally we are ignorant. So yes. How would you judge which is correct, which is wrong? Yeah. Somebody must respond for me. I'm ignorant about all this. How would I know? How can I ask my heart who is right, who is wrong? How can I find it out?
I think in general it's not a question of right or wrong. Of course, some things are blatantly right and some things are blatantly wrong. And we can see. So then if we think maybe he's right, maybe he's right, if we can't judge. If they're like totally contrary to each other, then we have to take advice from the scripture and from the sadhus, the previous acharyas. There's a wealth of knowledge already there. And that's what this means, tatastha vichara. You have to look at all the different advices that are available, and then you make your decision informed on that. So something may be clearly wrong, something may be clearly right. But sometimes if it's not clear, then you'll have to look within yourself and pray, and Krishna will give guidance to you. Sometimes we don't know, but Krishna's not he's a person, he's perfect, and we're not dealing with like an amorphous energy. We're dealing with a person who will respond to us in a personal way. So if we pray to him sincerely, guide me to the truth, you won't be deceived.
So people say you should judge your guru. How can you judge your guru? Is good or bad?
Mm-hmm. It's like if you have a guru of a high stature, like Sri Sridhar Maharaj, did a very high teaching, very high teaching this knowledge from high, very high level. So that's a very sort of high ideal. So as people like the saying, or self-aware, like ignorant or not very, then if their heart is touched by that, what they say, you know, the teachings, their high ideal, so our heart is touched by that, and we sort of keep that ideal on our head as a worshipper. That doesn't mean we can immediately, today or tomorrow, act in that way exactly, because there's a difference between the anukaran and anusharan, following the footsteps, an imitation. So somebody who is who's an ananya bhakta, it's right there, then they may act in a certain way. If we imitate that, we could do that same kind of things. In our levels, lower level, we get a strong reaction and make us go down. So that's imitation. So then sometimes you know, there's a difference between what they say and what they do. But that's not hypocrisy. They may be saying, give instructions for everyone, for general, but their own personal activity in their life may be a little different. So we can't imitate that. So the advice generally is, when their instruction is always good to follow that, but not always their behaviour. So with this understanding, you know, we can go forward in our own personal level of our own knowledge of ourselves, and realistically say, well, you know, this is my level, and I have to do this and this and so on. You know, like, because those higher devotees, they don't actually need to follow any rules or regulations. Like you said, they're Ananya Bhak, so they're not going to become righteous by following rules and regulations, as we are. Like if we're unrighteous, we follow rules and regulations and become righteous. But they're already Ananya Bhak. So if they're following rules and regulations, it's just to show something as an example to others, to follow, give some thing, or like that.
But when you're in the beginner on the path, if you're looking who will be my guide, my guru, then the advice of the scripture is you should examine that person 2 years before committing to them. Are they who I, you know, does my heart resonate with that person? Because it's not a light thing. It's not a you can say just a perfunctory thing. You wouldn't choose a wife just, you know, like, or a husband just like that. Oh yeah, they'll do. You know, you get to know that person, don't you, first, and see, is this the right person for me?
What in India?
Well, no, sometimes it's not like that, but...
Other parents...
Well, yeah, that's true.
In the West, okay, but not in India.
Okay, bad example then. From your culture, it's a bad example, but...
I never met my wife before my marriage.
Yeah.
Full stop.
But you can understand that the point is that the guru-disciple relationship, that's even more important than a marriage relationship.
Okay.
It's forever. So, when you make that choice, then you should be very sure that that person is the person that, you know, that person is my guru. You should be very sure, because the very worst thing that can ever happen to someone is that they have to give up their guru because they see some fault in them, or, you know, it becomes apparent that there's some, you know, that they're not what we thought they were. So, you know, better to be safe than sorry, so to say, you know. But sometimes it happens. It happened to us, we can say, you know. We had a particular guru, and we were following him. And myself, Maharaj, we were in that situation. And then later it turned out that he wasn't able to maintain his purity. And what to do? We had to decide what we will do with our faith, where we will give our faith. And we were very fortunate that we had come in contact with Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And we went to him, and he gave shelter to us. But he made us wait 1 year before he would accept us. So it's not something that we would wish for anyone. But sometimes it happens.
Also, our ability to recognize guru is depending on our own sukriti, in ourselves. If you know, because it may be a very high guru, for example, but if we can't recognize it, there's somebody else who's lower level, but we might resonate with them. So we have to pray. But yeah, if the highest possible, we want to accept that, even if we're completely unqualified, you know, if possible. But Guru Maharaj says, like, first class C, second class C, third class C, they're giving according to their level. So, you know, B, C, and B, up to B is what you. Yeah, but so, and, so it's an eternal thing, Satguru, accepting such a type of a guru. So, it's like Prabhupada says, a guru is not a fashion, you know. or you have your guru, I have my guru, something like that. It's our destiny, eternal destiny. But if we can find such a guru in this life, it's wonderful. It's a great, great possibility, prospect, you know, eternal prospect.
You just said the guru will find the disciple, is it true?
Yes. We can say that in a general way. But when you're ready for the guru to come, there's an example like when Prabhupada was in New York and he was giving lecture, and there was an old lady in the audience, maybe like in her 60s or 70s, you know. Then, and after the lecture, she asked him, "Oh, Swamiji, I'm an old lady now. Why didn't you come when I was a young woman?" And Prabhupada's reply was, because you weren't ready then. Now you're ready. Now I've come because you're ready now. So we can never say when that will be, but in a general sense it's true. When the disciple wants that and is ready for that, the guru will appear to them. But something is necessary from our part also, you know. It's not like a magical thing. You're walking down the road and then suddenly there he is, you know.
Okay. We'll finish there if that's all right. Time's getting on.
Hariharaya Namo Krishna Jadavaya Namaha. Jadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Srimadusudan.